Man, good morning, everyone. Hiya, nice to see you. Hope you're all well. I've had a really interesting week this week. I was in Northern Ireland, crossing the province, woohoo, and having a chat with people about church planting over in Northern Ireland, and I met with Helen Davidson as well, who said hi, and she's coming home soon, and so she sent her love from Northern Ireland. We had a lovely lunch, and it's interesting. So situation in Ireland, and it's all of Ireland really, rather than just the north of Ireland that we were kind of talking about. Main thing, probably there's a lot of churches over there, a lot of churches in particular, but there's actually a lot of churches all over the all over Ireland. But probably the thing that actually has happened as a result of the Troubles is that people are sick of the church, profoundly sick. Like big time. And so so actually what's happening is that although there's quite a high, still a high percentage of people still attending church, probably around about sort of like 40%, which is about four times higher than it is in Scotland, slightly more than that actually, they tend to be much, much older, and a lot of the people around who are, particularly the younger guys, just hate it. Don't want to have any part of it. And so the guys who are involved in leading the churches are beginning to ask the question, well, what do we do now to reconnect with the kind of the next generation and the lost generations? And so we're across talking about Forge, the church planting training that we do, and talking about the possibility of starting over there. So we'll wait and see where that goes. But really a great, just a great time, great opportunity, wonderful fellowship, lovely people, and it'll be great fun, I have to say that. Hysterical all the time in a whole lot of different ways, which we already knew, but actually, you know, they were great fun to be with. So that was lovely. And then I came home, and I didn't get home. No, I was phoned while I was there, and while I was there, I realized that the lady phoned me from one of the trust funds that we've been applying for. Remember, we've been talking about that and praying for that. So we applied for some money for, to help us with the what was going on around the corner. She phoned to say that we'd been awarded another £4,500. Well, that's exciting. So yeah, woohoo, good on. So that's great. Thanks, Gordon. I'm echoing quite profoundly here. That was really helpful and amazing. You know, God's just continuing to provide for us and continuing to help us to move forward. Good. Right. Now, before I actually launch into what I want to do, I want actually to start by having Karen Sterling, who's, I have now lost, where is she? Oh, you're right there. Karen's going to come, and she's just going to share something with us.
This is a poem that's actually taken me a lot of months to write. It was quite hard, and it has been in lots of forms, but I finally finished it and come to a point where I'm actually happy with it. I want to explain it first. When I started writing it, I was quite kind of, I write lots, and people only really see like 7% of what I actually, I write loads, but you don't actually see a lot of it, because a lot of stuff that I write it almost like a kind of healing thing, or like a kind of like journey thing, and so it would be appropriate if you read it all, but also that's what I do. That's how I overcome things and get through stuff and chat stuff through with God through writing it in poems or loads of stuff. So when I started writing it, that's what I was writing about. And I was writing it as a kind of revelation almost that I'd had. But actually, the more I wrote and the more God gave me to write, the more I realized that actually I think it's something that everyone needs to hear. And it's something that really impacts lots of people in lots and lots of different ways, and I think that's what's really cool about it. Anyway, it's called Love Omnipotent. You say love is blind, but I know love, and he is definitely not blind. In fact, love sees me clearer than I see myself. Love knows me better than any best friend. Love hears me, love wants me, love loves me more than any man ever will. Love is not blind. In fact, love kneels at my bedside when I spill my heart all over the pillowcase in tears filled with more frustration than they heartily cry for. And love strokes my hair and holds my hand until I fall asleep and dream of love. Love is not blind. Love doesn't even wear glasses, rose-tinted or otherwise. In fact, it's us who are blind. when we say that we have earned back our right to love. First off, love isn't a right. Second, there isn't a good deed good enough to earn you, and there isn't a bad deed bad enough to strip you of it. Love is not blind, and love is not passive either. Love does not linger around in pauses waiting for you to get up and grab it. In fact, love is eternally, omnisciently present. Love longs for nothing but yours. Love lives to give you life. Love actively pursues you. Love chooses hourly, minutely, to take you as you are, broken pieces and all. This is no recommended reading. It is a bare necessity, vital. In fact, your life depends on it. Love treasures you, love made you, and love knows who you are made to be and relentlessly calls you to it.
White Inches is called to be a center for creativity. A place where God's amazing stuff just pours out of us, just touches the lives of those around about us. And it's going to happen in all sorts of different ways. That's the wonderful thing about creativity. It's going to happen in all sorts of different ways. Some of it will be through just hearing the most incredible poetry. Some of it will be through art. Some of it will be through more creative approaches towards our business. Some of it will be by the way in which we care for creation. Some of it will be in ways that I can't even describe, because it's not for me to describe the creativity that's going to flow from each one of us. And so as we come to the last of our weeks thinking about what an urban monastery in White Inch could actually look like, and as we think particularly about today, this whole thing of being a centre for creativity, I just want to take a moment or two to just cheer us on to pursue that flow of creativity that is already, as you can see, as you can hear, coming and you know, just pouring out amongst us. Just so that you're clear, creativity comes to us as Christian folks and as a church because we follow after a creative God. Now, that might be an obvious thing to say, but I just want to sort of say that, you know, this isn't just our thing. It's not just our way of reacting. It's not just, you know, whoever we are. It's actually because we are created in the image of God, and God is a creative being. He never does the same thing twice. He's always doing new things. He's always doing new things every time. And that's the wonderful thing about us. None of us are the same as each other. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different approach. Everyone has a different way of doing things. Everyone has a different, as our pal Craig would say, a different flavor. You know? We're all a different flavor. And I love that. I love that. And actually, that's how God has made us to be, because He is the Creator God. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, the story of God creating. And you know, and that's what we're meant to be. We're meant to be creative people. But beyond that, in Exodus 31, we have the story about the first guys who were filled with the Holy Spirit so that they would create beautiful things in the tent of meeting. You know, and if you read that story, if you're a creative person, I love the fact that you know, people do different things, like kind of crocheting. You know, I just love crocheting. Not because I love crocheting, but because I love you crocheting. I just think that's amazing that, you know, people could crochet and think that that was good. Anyway, it's yeah, and no, and it's great. I just love the fact that it's so diverse. And you know, but actually, if you read Exodus 31 and you read the story about these guys who were meant to make the tent of meeting, you know, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible story of kind of like, you know, make the baubles that are this size and they've got this thing and these stones go, you know, gemstones, stick them here and there. Just read it. It's an incredible story of creativity that God released amongst His people. But there's more than that, of course. I mean, we read the Psalms, and the Psalms are full. Psalm 150 speaks about the you know, about the importance of music. We love music. We love music. And I, you know, and it was funny because I have conversations with people about the fact that they kind of come and they visit. Sometimes they come and they visit the church, and they kind of go, "You've got an amazing live band. It's incredible. They're incredible. I think that the musicians in this church are amazing, absolutely phenomenal." And they do things at such a good level, and yet, you know, and there is more. And, you know, the fact is, you probably don't know it, they don't say a lot about it, but a lot of the songs that we sing, or some of the songs that we sing, are actually produced by the guys that are here. You know, they're releasing more and more of their creativity. Music's part of it, not just in the church, but across. You know, loads of people love music. You know, and I think, I love the fact that, I don't know where Donald's going, but anyway, yeah, I went away to the guys. But Donald... Donald's playing in the band tomorrow. Now, you will not believe the kind of music that Donald plays. If you ever can, you should check it out, actually. But Donald's got a band. What's it called again? What's the band called? Do we know? Misguided Anchors. Anger. Anchors. And they're playing tomorrow night. They've got a gig tomorrow night. And, you know, the Christian guys out there doing their stuff, and they're mental. They're absolutely incredible. I don't know how you thrash, stroke, something, something. He gave me a whole lot of words that I didn't understand when he played it. He described it. He went, "Yeah, my music's like thrash, this, 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 and this." And I went, "Right, good." And then I said, "Dave," I sort of said, "Dave, I think you should go to that concert." So Dave, tomorrow, which is great. And I'm going to take his earplugs because I think it's going to be loud. Anyway, so music's amazing. Psalms also talk about dancing. You know, we have flags and we dance and all that. And, you know, and actually, there is something about the church waking up to the fullness of creativity that I think is part of what we're called to be. Actually, I think we're still too passive. I think we're still too kind of like, stayed in rows and behave yourself and don't move around. And I think we need to be kind of, you know, I love we were talking earlier, some of us were talking earlier about being in Mozambique. And one of the funniest things that happens in Mozambique when we visit in Pemba is when they all decide, and they all have dancers on the stage and stuff like that, which is really funny, and I can't keep up with them at all because they just dance so fast and they just go so far. Anyway, but the funniest bit is when this is a congregation of, like, you know, maybe sort of 1,500 people or 10, you know, it varies. But anyway, this great big space, and then. And I don't know if there's a guy that gives a signal, a big nod, but after a wee while, they just all start doing the most amazing dance round the church. So they all take, and when I say they all do this, I mean like hundreds and hundreds of them start dancing round the church, round and round and round and round and round. It is the most incredible thing. And they're just full of the joy of the Lord. I love that. I love the fact that that's part of it. Will that come into White Inch? I do not know, but, you know... I certainly think I'd love us to try Cayley Church. Come on, Joe. When's Cayley Church happening? But I'd love us to do that. I think that'd be great. And I think people would really be interested in that. What a laugh that would be, wouldn't it? You know, and I don't know how it would work, but it's like, but I think it would be great. And I just think there's something about creativity, there's something about dance, there's something about music, there's something about expressing ourselves, which I think is so, so important. And not just in terms of the creative arts, but also in terms of, you know, things like, you know, when we're thinking about the kind of the urban monastery stuff, we're thinking about the Celtic Christianity stuff. And they were into all of that. But they were also into things like creation care. You know, do you want to know where environmentalism came from? Well, actually, it is solidly rooted in the Christian faith. We believe that the Creator has called us to be stewards of the creation. And so that's what we're doing. And that's what we're called to do. And I think, again, I just think that's an amazing thing. One of the most sort of famous... Let me just read to you. So actually, I have read the scriptures and not just referred to them. I just want to read one verse to you, though. It's from 1 John 3, verse 18. It says this: "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Let us not just talk love with words and speech, but with actions and truth. And the Celtic saints took this verse from 1 John 3, verse 18, and the whole thing about, you know, love not just being about words, but being about actions. That's when they sort of said, and therefore we will express the love of God in creative ways. And you got a whole variety of different things, you know. And so you got things like the Book of Kells, which I think might be coming up next. Thank you, Dan. You know, which is probably the most sort of famous part of kind of Celtic art and stuff like that. But they also did pottery. I don't think they did crochet, but you never know. Might have done. But they did do dressmaking, interestingly, and that was part of their thing. They did sculpture. But they also, as I say, they were very strong in creation care. Very strong creation care. And that's all part of our spiritual inheritance as, you know, that we want to claim back for Scotland and for us today. You know, that's all part of what God's wanting to do with us today. So here's the thing, though. The reality is that's perhaps way back. That's sort of 500, 600, 700 AD. But actually, around about the time of the Reformation, which is around sort of like 1500, 1600, then what happened was this, that actually there had been so much art which was actually produced by the Roman Catholic Church, which basically was kind of pointing to Mary and pointing to other saints and all this kind of stuff. And you'll see that in terms of the artwork that was there and all the rest of it. And what happened was that they said, actually what's happening is that people are worshipping the actual kind of art itself. They're not seeing through the art to the creator, and they're not worshipping the creator. They're worshipping the art. And so as a result of that, the church historically, the Reformed Church, the Presbyterian Protestant Church, actually emptied churches of all art. Everything was removed. In fact, they smashed statues, they smashed the windows, they painted the walls, the whole thing, you know, the whole phrase about whitewashing walls. Well, I mean, they actually literally, you know, you'll see lots and lots of different churches that are in the inside actually are literally whitewashed. And that's the reason why, because during the Reformation, they had so reacted to some of the excesses and some of the unhelpful things that had happened in terms of art and so on within the church, that they swung the other way. And that's actually partly why we are where we are in terms of the history of the Church of Scotland. That's, you know, and actually there is a, if you like, if there was a pendulum swung, there was a pendulum that swung one way, you know, before the Reformation, and then it swung the other way and basically chucked all the arts out of the church, and now it's swinging back. Thank God. Now it's swinging back, because we're actually seeing God now beginning to release all sorts of amazing, beautiful, wonderful things within the arts. And we want to see that within the church. We want to see, you know, people kind of contributing in terms of poetry. We want people to contribute in terms of, we've had people painting as part of worship, and we've had people dancing, we've had flags, and we've had this, that, and the next thing. And we will love all of that. We will love all of that. We love all of those things. And we just want to kind of say, we want to make space for all of that. Signing, all that stuff, any of that stuff, that's all part of what we want to do as we move forward. But probably we also want to say this, that actually, you know, not everyone, and I've said this over the last kind of few weeks as we've talked about this whole thing of the vision for the future, not everyone does church like this particularly well. You know, one of the reasons why we want to kind of get back out into creation is a lot of people connect with God as they walk, as they go, and as they kind of as they cycle, as they go about, you know, and actually see the beauty of creation. You know, so many of the folks that Jill Wilson works with in terms of the snowboarders and the talk about, you know, the transcend, you know, moments of transcendence as they come down on their snowboards. You know, they're not necessarily folks who are Christian, but they know that there's something more. And actually, you know, we need to be much bolder as we go forward in actually working out how can we be much more creative in terms of worship. And I just, again, I want to sort of say to us, you know, if you're not sure, then hear it very clearly today. We give you permission, if you needed it, you don't need it, but I'm telling you, you can have it. You have permission to go and do those things, to try those things, to, you know, to have a go at different stuff, to see if we can build other ways of helping so that other people can help to connect with God. Because that's actually what we're trying to do. You know, we're open to all of that kind of stuff. And so there'll be a multiplicity of types of ways in which we connect with God, ways in which creativity is used, places and ways in which we do that. Creativity is a key to the future of the church. Releasing creativity is a key to the future of the church. It's not a peripheral secondary issue. It's actually a fundamental. And let me explain why. Because God wants us to release new patterns and new ways and new expressions of living for Him in such a way that everybody gets to understand the gospel. And if we only do things as we've done them, then we will not do that. Creativity is a key to the future of the church. And therefore, being a center for creativity is absolutely essential if we are going to be able to do the things that God wants us to do as we go forward. And I just want to say, that's because actually we need different voices speaking about what Jesus is about. We need different voices and different ways and different approaches speaking about the different ways in which God is going to do that. And so, you know, we need to engage the artists, and we need to engage the outdoorsy guys, and we need to engage the business entrepreneurs. We need to engage those who are innovating in the areas of healthcare, etc. All the other sort of stuff that we're kind of doing. Let me just, can we have the next slide up, Dan? What we're going to be doing as we think about the kingdom, the whole thing of being a center of creativity is that we're actually going to be trying to say, what does it look like for the kingdom of God to break out in every area of society? Okay? And this is called the Seven Mountains of Influence. And basically, it's just a reference to seven areas of society which actually are significant in terms of the impact that it makes within the wider society. Okay? And so it's got, you've got everything from arts and entertainment, business, education, family life, government, media, and religion. And you could also, and sometimes they kind of have health and other things. There's one or two, there's sort of different ways that you can describe the seven mountains. But what I'm sort of saying is this, that actually what we are interested in is we're interested in becoming a center that actually thinks about how can we release the body of Christ to be effective in taking the kingdom of God into every situation that we are supposed to be in. And I believe that one of the things that's going to mark us as a church is that we are going to be people who are going to create kingdom solutions which are real solutions to real problems. Kingdom solutions are an absolutely critical part of what will happen as we move forward as a center of creativity. Kingdom solutions are real solutions to real problems that people are facing. So we're going to be thinking about, and this is one of the things that we're doing. I mean, you heard Shona speaking about kind of the whole thing about being a therapeutic community, a healing community, but I think that there's something quite profound about that. In a community where our health and addiction and mental health and family stability statistics are actually continuing to go down, get worse, I believe as a community of faith, we have something to offer to our wider community in terms of an answer which addresses not just the specific issue that they are dealing with at that time, but the breadth of the things that God is actually calling us to deal with. So in other words, we create as a community a holistic, an all-encompassing set of answers to people who have got complex and sometimes, you know, really significant and profound issues. I believe that that's one of the real kingdom solutions which is actually going to address a real problem that society has. But I think we're also going to have it in other areas. So I think that there is something about, for example, creating business opportunities, which are about people actually having dignity and hope built back into their life, and not just about making money, although they'll do that too. So there's creativity in that area. There's creativity in the areas around projects. It's interesting, Diane, talking about rock. I think that actually there's lots and lots of opportunities for interesting kind of community projects which really do make an impact. I mean, one of the things that we've talked about recently is we've talked about the possibility of being involved in, obviously we've got things like Food Bank and we've got kind of CAP and we've got one or two other things that are going on, which is great. But actually, you know, one of the things we talked about recently was how do we help people who are perhaps coming through, who have been through the recovery process and who are actually at the stage where nobody would employ them. They're great guys, amazing people, but actually nobody will employ them because of the stuff that's going on. And so could we actually kind of create a business where they could step in and be trained and given, some experience and then actually, you know, and then maybe start their own business, or maybe they could move into other employment, or maybe they could actually, you know, that kind of thing. And the thing is, it's really difficult to get back into that kind of training pattern for folks that have come through the recovery, because actually life's still a bit higgledy-piggledy. You know, it can be a bit like that. And so actually, how could we as a community get alongside and actually just be really good friends and supports as they walk through that process? And, you know, and sometimes when they do that, they also need to have some stuff around inner healing, and how can we offer that? And then we actually kind of, you know, and maybe they need to kind of learn other things, and how can we do that? And I just think that there's some opportunities there. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is this. Actually, there's a whole range of things that God is calling us to in terms of releasing creativity. And the solutions to the issues are in the room. They're in the room. They're here. They're in you. You are carrying some of the solutions. You might not know it yet. You might not even begin to kind of think of yourself in that way. But I'm telling you that actually you are here because you carry the solutions, which are kingdom solutions, real solutions to real problems, which only you carry. I just want to speak a word of encouragement and permission and release over you to say, you know, let's actually step into these things. Let's not just leave them as stuff that we thought one day while we were walking along and we thought, oh no, that's ridiculous, couldn't possibly. Because almost all of my best ideas are like that. Almost all of my best ideas are you. We had the dog when we used to kind of walk the dog, that was when I would do it. But do you know, it's when I'm sort of standing in the shower, not thinking about anything, particularly washing my hair and sort of thing, you know, which obviously doesn't take very long, but so I don't have very many good ideas, or at least they're very short. Anyway, and it's just, you know, it's at that moment something drops into my head. And you'll have experienced that too, moments where you just kind of go, But actually, we dismiss them. Or we ignore them, or we kind of go, whatever. I want to encourage you to write them down. I want to encourage you to come and talk about them. And they might be rubbish. Most of my ideas are rubbish. You know, I discount 90% of the things that I think about. I think that's just nonsense. So just, but actually, there's 10% of them that actually are worth pursuing and may well be kingdom things. And I just want to encourage you. It's all there. The solutions are already in the room, you know, for what it is that God's going to do for us. Okay, last slide then. So as we come to the end of this thing, as we come to the end of this discussion about what we are doing as a church, and as we come to the end of this series, as we talk about the urban monastery, I just want to ask this. I want to ask, will you be partners in the gospel? Will you be partners in this call? Will you become the solution that actually will produce all of these things that we are talking about? We need people who are willing to do that, who are willing to stand together. I know that sometimes, you know, we don't get everything right in church, and I know that. But actually, I really fundamentally believe that this is a really critical time for us to kind of come together and to say, I will play my part. Whatever my part is, I will play my part. And so I want to invite you to respond. I want you to invite you to step in. I'm calling you to come and to be part of the Urban Monastery, to be part of God's amazing adventure that he's taken us on as we move through these next years together. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you that the solutions are in the room. I thank you that actually you've already downloaded kingdom solutions. I thank you for those things which people are treasuring in their hearts. I thank you that you are breathing your Holy Spirit over them today. Just, and so for some of you, it just feels like your heart is just burning within you. Your head is just expanding into incredible possibilities because actually today the Lord is speaking a new level of creativity over us as a fellowship and you as an individual. Father, I release that wave of creativity, Lord God, in every aspect. I just release that upon every single one who will receive it now. I release them to be everything that you've called them to be bold and courageous as they step forward, to do all that you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you that it won't look like what I think, because I don't know. Because actually, you've placed on each one of our hearts different things. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's like an orchestra that you're creating here. I thank you that you are the conductor, that you are the composer. And I thank you that although we sound different and look different, that actually as we learn how to hear one another, as we learn how to play with one another, we are going to create the most incredible symphony, a symphony of praise. And so, Lord God, we give ourselves to you. In all that is to come, and all that you've called us to, we willingly offer ourselves, knowing our weaknesses and our frailties, and yet also knowing that you take us just as we are. So, Lord, would you come? Would you have your way? Lord, I pray specifically, I ask, Lord, that what are you saying to us? What are you saying to me? What is the Lord saying to you personally, right now? What are you going to do about it?